Sanhedrin Perk Yud Aleph, Mishnah Base 11:2, and now the Mishnah turns its attention to the third of these six transgressions, for which there is a potential penalty of chenek, and that is, as the Mishnah says, really quoting from the previous Mishnah, Zakin Mamre al Pi Bezdin, the elder who rebels against the decree, the word of the Bezdin. So this is referring to someone who he himself is so accomplished a scholar that he could sit in the Sanhedrin himself as a dayan, as a judge, and he essentially refuses to accept the ruling of the Sanhedrin, meaning that, as the Mishnah will explain in depth, and really we're going to read the Psukkim also, he hears from the Sanhedrin directly that such something should be the ruling, and he refuses to follow that ruling. Instead, he teaches or behaves a contrary to that ruling, such that either he instructs other people to behave against the Sanhedrin, or himself behaves against the Sanhedrin. At that point, he's liable to chenek. And in fact, the Zaken Mamre is unique in as much as he doesn't even need Hasra'ah. Once he's heard from the Bez and the Psak, the Sanhedrin, the Psak, the ruling, so then he, if he contravenes that ruling by acting contrary to it, or teaching others, telling others to act contrary to it, then that's enough. Two witnesses would be enough to really to grab him and convict him. The Maharal explains that the rationale here is in Bar Gula. He explains that the rationale is that we simply can't have a society which is based on Torah if we haven't got a central authority who tells us how to interpret the Torah. So nowadays, we live in a world without a Sanhedrin, and therefore we see, of course, everyone does whatever they see, you know, fit to do. And, you know, it doesn't really, we're used to the idea that a town, some people could say there's a Erev and you could rely on it. And other people say you can't rely on that Erev. And if you do your Machal Shavuos before Hesia, you're, you know, really you're violating the worst, you're breaking the Torah in the first order, etc. We're used to that. So then our friends, some of our friends do, some friends don't. But that's not how it was in the time of the mission. That's not how the Torah had in mind. The Torah had in mind that if we're not sure about something like an Erev, so then we wouldn't just, you know, take sides. The Sanhedrin HaGadol, the Supreme Court, so to speak, the Jewish people, would render a formal decision based on this, Achram Lahatos. They would essentially consider it. They'd vote, and then that majority decision would be binding on Klal Yisrael, where everyone has to follow that decision. So here, our Mishnah is going to say that Zaken Mamre, al pi Bezdin, the elder who rebels against the Bezdin, it says Shenamar. So really, it brings the first opening words of the Parsha and the Chumash. It says, Ki palemimcha davar lamishpat vegomer. If it should be some matter sort of hidden from you, it's concealed from you regarding a ruling, etc. So you have to read the etc. I'm going to read you the whole parsha inside. It's actually not very long at all. It's in Devarim, Perik Yud Zayin. Starting from Pasuk Ches, so 17:8 of Devarim. It says, Ki palemimcha davar lamishpat. If you have some matter which is like concealed from you regarding how to rule in a halachic point, Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divrei ribos v'sharecha. Whatever the case might be, the topic doesn't. Whatever the topic is, if it's a divrei ribos v'sharecha, some issue of dispute within your town, within your gates. So then v'kamta v'alisa l'makom asher yivachar Hashem elokecha bo. So then you're going to go up, you rise up, and go to the place that Hashem has chosen, meaning Yerushalayim. So the idea here, this first pasuk, what the Mishnah is imagining is you have, you know, this person in town. He could be the Gadol Hador for our, doesn't make a difference. In fact, he will be something like a Gadol Hador, right? A big Talmid Chacham who says, you know, I don't know what, the Erev in our town, just taking that as an example, is kosher, you can rely on it, and everyone else, you can't have an Erev in this town, it's not kosher. So since he won't back down, if he won't back down, so then he and his the rest of like the Dayanim of his town will now go to Yerushalayim to discuss, to find out, like sort of once and for all, a definitive decision, can we not have an Erev in this town? Uva asalam koanim halavim v'la shofet asher yeh b'yamim ha'hem v'darash v'yigidu lecha eis davar ha'mishpat. So then they will all go to the koanim who are levim, which is preferable, they should be part of the Sanhedrin if possible, v'la shofet, whoever the judges, asher yeh b'yamim ha'hem, in that those times, v'darash v'yigidu lecha, they will explain to you, they'll rule for you, Es davar mishpat, the ruling, the halachic ruling. Va'asisa al pi hadavar asher yegidu lacha, and you will follow what they tell you, min ha'makom ahu, Asher Yivchar Hashem, from the place that Hashem chose, meaning again, it's a Sanhedrin ruling from the Sanhedrin from Yerushalayim, so that's binding. V'shamart lasos kachol Asher Yerucha. You have to be careful to do exactly what they said. Al pi Torah Asher Yerucha, al pi val ha-mishpat Asher Yomru Lecha, ta'aseh. Based on the Torah that they teach you and the ruling they give you, you have to follow exactly. Again, I'm not explaining what these extra words are teaching now. Lo sasur min hadavar. You may not deviate from the matter as they ruled it. Asher yagidu lecha yamin o'smol. Neither right nor left. Meaning, even if they tell you right is left and left is right, so you have to follow what they say. Va'ish asher yase bezadon. Here is our Zaken Mamre. The man who acts intentionally in violation of what they said. And he is someone who, you know, he understands what he's doing, and he does it anyways. The vilti shamoa el hakohen haomed nesharas sham es Hashem elokecha ol hashofet, and he refuses to listen to whether it's the kohen who's serving or the judge who's giving this ruling, meaning from the Sanhedrin. Umeisa ishahu viarta hara miYisrael. So then that person has to die. I'm removing this ra miYisrael, this evil from Israel, because he's really dividing the country potentially, and that would undermine the whole integrity of the nation as a Torah nation. Once we had this, when we had the Sanhedrin, v'chol ha'am yishmu v'yirau, and then everyone will hear v'yirau, and they will fear v'lo yazidunod, and they won't do it again. Okay, that's the parsha. So that's really what the Mishnah had to say, referring to the Zaken Mamre. He has to listen, but now how that plays itself out, what that looks like, the Mishnah now sort of details much more fully. So again, we have how it would play out. So I'll give you a story. We have Rav Moshe, the Rav of this town, and he holds it. Let's say the Erev is you could have an Erev in our town. The rest of the Dayan and the Rabban of the town say no, you can't. So they'll drag this Rav Moshe from our town. We'll call him Beit Shemesh. We'll take him from Beit Shemesh and we'll take him to Yerushalayim. So says the Mishnah, Shlosha Bate Dinin Hayusham. Over there in Yerushalayim, there were three separate Sanhedrins. Echad Yoshev al Pesach Har Habayis. One was at the entrance to the Har Habayis. So the way Rashi learns, it sounds like this first of the three of the Sanhedrins. This is a Sanhedrin still of 23 people, but it's like a lesser Sanhedrin. But it's, you know, it's like one of the, I'll call it the appellate Sanhedrins. It's on the Har Habayis at the entrance. But Rashi learns it means the entrance, kind of close to the Beis Hamikdash itself. So kind of as Tosiyonta describes it, it's at the entrance of the Har Habayis. If you're leaving the Beis Hamikdash, then you'll come across it right away. So it's at the far end of the, or the in the middle, if you will, of the Har Habayis, as opposed to the edge of the Har Habayis. Okay, others like the Tver Yisrael seem to understand, no, it's like more straightforwardly at the outer edge, if you will, of the Har Habayis, on the eastern side there. Ve'echad Yoshev al Pesach HaAzara. The second one is at the entrance to the Azara, like the I'll call it the temple courtyard. And the idea here is just, you see, you have your geography kind of straight. You have the Har Habayis, let's call that 500 by 500 Amos. On there somewhere is the, within the Chel there is the first of these appellate courts. Then you have the Beis HaMikdash area proper. So you have the, on the east, like the far side, if you will, you have the Ezra's Nashim, 135 by 135 Amos, and then you have, like, moving further west, as you move towards the, like, toward the Kodesh Kodesh in that direction. So then you have this 187 from east to west, 135 north-south, Azara. So there at the entrance of the Azara, you have the second one. And then the Echad Yoshev B'lishkas HaGazus, this one sits not at the Ezra's Nashim side, but actually in the Azara proper, right, essentially straddling half in the Azara itself and half outside, like meaning half, we're talking north-south outside, because it has to be, Sukkim, it has to be sort of in the Azara, but the Kohanim, excuse me, the Sanhedrin Gadol couldn't even sit down if it were inside the Azara, so it's like half out where they can sit, etc. And so those three, I'll call them now Appellate Court 1, that's the first one of 23. Appellate Court 2, it's another Sanhedrin HaKatan, who another 23-person left Sanhedrin, that's at the entrance there by the Azara. And then the third one within the Lishkas HaGaz itself, that's a Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71. So it says the Mishnah, Ubaim lezeh she'al Pesach Har Habayis. So come to the first of the three appellate courts, if you will, of the one at the entrance to the Har Habayis of 23. Va'omer, and the this Rav Moshe in my story, who said, wants to talk to Art that an Erev should be okay in Beit Shemesh, he says, Kach darashi v'kach darshu chaver, right? This is how I made a public explanation of why it should be permitted, and they said not, for these reasons. Kach limarati v'kach limdu chaver, this is what I taught in terms of a svara, and this is what they taught in terms of svara. So, now, if this first of the, I'll call them three appellate courts again, the Sanhedrin HaKatan that sits in the entrance of the Har HaBayis, Im Shamu, if they have a tradition regarding, you know, this particular principle, so then Omrim Lehem, then they would pass them explicitly. And then if they did say, then the people, then the this Rav Moshe and his fellow Rabbanim from HaMash should go back home, because it's been case closed. Now, if they wouldn't, if this Rav Moshe wouldn't listen now, he actually would not be a Zaken Mamre, because he hasn't yet, he wouldn't be defined the Sanhedrin itself. Okay, but the assumption is that he's a well-meaning, so he's at the moment, we're not talking about that. But the important point here is that this Sanhedrin HaKatan on the Har HaBayis, so they have to say only if they have a tradition. They couldn't sort of innovate. They couldn't make svaras why it should or shouldn't be mutter. They just have to just simply say what they have on tradition. If they don't have a tradition, so then v'im lav, they don't know, ban lehen la'osen shal pesach ha'azara. Then they go to the second of the two appellate Sanhedrin Katanas over there at the entrance to the Azara, and v'omer kach darash v'kach darshu chaverai. Again, go to Rav Moshe, he would explain what, how he taught and how they taught. Kach limadati v'kach limdu chaverai. This is how they learned this. This is how they taught. Dorash is like to expound publicly, and limed is how to teach, I guess, more as far as, again, privately, maybe, perhaps, or not so public. Now, im shamu, if the second Sanhedrin HaKatan there at the entrance of the Azara had heard, have a tradition on this, so then, omrim lehem, then they would indeed tell the people what to do. And then if not, v'im lav, elu ve'elu ban lebezdin ha'gadol, sheva lishchas ha'gadus, then gazus. Then everyone goes to lishchas ha'gazus, the chamber of hewn stone, with the Sanhedrin ha'gadol sits, of 71, I should say. And then, you know, both Gedol Rav Moshe and the Rabbanim of his town, Beit Shemesh, as well as the 23 from each of the first and second, I'll call them the Sanhedrin Katanas, they all go to the Sanhedrin ha'gadol. Shememenu yotzes Torah l'chol Yisrael. From there, the Torah comes out, goes out to all of Israel, and they would be able to sort of, even if they hadn't made a tradition, didn't have a tradition on it, they could actually sort of innovate and use the Torah, midos shatur nedresh behen, to extrapolate, to expound, use logic, whatever it is, to come up with a psak, a definitive psak, which would be binding. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, min ha'makom ha'hu asher yivchar Hashem, from that place that Hashem chose, referring again to the Makom Mikdash and the Sanhedrin who's presiding there, the Sanhedrin Gadol. Then they paskin it. Now Chazal Iro, if good old Rav Moshe goes back to his town there in Beit Shemesh, Vishana, and he repeats Velimid Kederech Shahaya Lamed, and he continues. He goes back to explaining Sfaras why it should be mutter to have an Erev in this town, when actually the Sanhedrin said it's definitively usher to make it. But if he had svaras, and he learns Maseches Erevin, he, you know, gets out of his thumb and he says, it's Chedushia Torah, whatever it is, why he holds, so then Pater. So then we can live with that, because he's not telling people what to do, he's just saying svaras. But Ve'im Horelasos, if he tells people, build an Erev, or carry over here, or if he himself carries with the relying on the Erev, whatever the story is, so now he's acted against, either himself acting against, or instructing others to act against what the Sanhedrin said. And at that point, Chayiv, if he becomes a Zaken Mamre on the spot, Shenemar v'ha'ish asher ya'ase bezodon, if the man who acts willfully against what the Sanhedrin taught, so then that guy will be Chayiv, right? So it teaches you, Eino Chayiv ad sheyora la'asos. He's not liable to chenek until he instructs, he's yora, he teaches others to act in contrast, you know, in defiance of what the Sanhedrin HaGadol had ruled. Okay, now, this assumes again that this guy was a zaken, meaning he himself is old enough and wise enough to be able to sit in the Sanhedrin. Rashi is 40 years old, but he certainly has to be someone who is a bona fide zaken, meaning a chacham, who has smicha, and he could act as a dayan. And therefore, Talmud, shehora la'asos, if you have someone who's junior to that position, someone who's still not, he's a Talmud chacham, but he had not yet a chacham proper, that he could be appointed. If he rules, instructs others to behave contrary to what the Sanhedrin had said, patur. He actually will be exempt from being a zaken mamre. He's not a zaken. And if you explain this according to the Tzfara, the sort of time of the Krah, the rationale that the Maharal had said, we're not afraid that some guy who's not even like a bona fide chacham will lead the country to split, the nation to split in half, so therefore this guy doesn't have that kind of power. And therefore he's doing a terrible thing, but he won't be the zaken mamre for whom the penalty is chenek. And it says the mission, therefore, nimtza chumro kulo. It turns out then, like, this, his extra severely terrible thing he's doing, meaning this guy's a pisher. He's only he's not even fit to be a dayan. And yet he's posting against what he himself knows the Sanhedrin doesn't agree with, so who do you think he is? But the point is, chumro, the severity of his, you know, chutzpah and infraction, kulo, works out to be like his leniency, meaning because he's only a Talmud and not a Zaken proper, so then he has the leniency of not being liable to Chenek, the death penalty, because he just doesn't reach the stature of being a Zaken from whom he could be a Zaken Mamre, or someone who a Zaken, a heavy-duty Chacham who rebels against the Sanhedrin.